Public policy think tank, the Australian Fabian Society, has just released new research showing that the Australian public has no idea about rates of inequality in this country. In fact, a whopping 73% of people underestimate the level of wealth inequality. In Australia, the wealthiest 1% of people hold wealth equivalent to the poorest 70%. Australian Fabian's national chair, Billy Collis, says the research demonstrates a troubling disconnect between the public's understanding of wealth inequality and its ongoing commitment to a fair society. Veronica Alashina has more.
Briefly, what is it that your research has shown about wealth inequality in Australia?
Our research has actually shown that 73% of people in Australia underestimate the level of wealth inequality in Australia. And when they underestimate it, they massively underestimate it, with only 9% of Australians understanding that it's, you know, 70% of the total wealth is owned by 1% of the population. Oxfam actually released earlier this year a kind of report that shows that last year we've actually seen another record increase that shows that we went from 33 billionaires to 43 this year, seeing that the billionaires and the 1% are actually increasing in our country while the lower echelons, you know, aren't. The big thing for our research is that we actually wanted to go beyond simply income inequality, which we're so quick to jump into. We wanted to look at wealth in the country. And part of that is about saying that a fair and good society is built off making sure that we've got an equal and fair distribution of that wealth.
Mm. And could you go a little bit into the difference between income and wealth?
Yeah, so income is what we're receiving in. Wealth is actually looking at a wide range of things, from land to money in reserves to shares. So, you know, the difference there is we're quick to jump into cost of living versus income. We're not very quick to jump in and actually look at the total wealth of what people own in our society, just the most true sense of what people are facing in regards to inequality and fairness on that level. So we went directly to wealth because that's probably the most accurate record to what people are actually feeling and bearing in our society.
Again, your research shows that 73% of people underestimate the level of wealth inequality in Australia. What do you think is the reason for this cognitive dissonance?
And I kind of bring this back to my upbringing and many of the upbringings of you know, most Australian families. We've got this feeling that I might be doing it tough, as a working class person, but there's always someone worse off than me. We've got that sense of, it's kind of built into and ingrained to us, that there's either someone worse off than me or there's someone better off than me. And we actually need to kind of break that down a little bit and then start understanding that we've kind of put ourselves into a space of it's going to be okay, or, you know, it's not as bad as it could be. For most of us, what was more alarming for me in regards to the research was seeing that only 9% of us correctly identified that 70% of the wealth is owned by the 1%. What's really actually interesting with the research as well is we actually did some research looking into what would be the most effective way of actually addressing the wealth inequality in the country. And one of the most standout priorities that came out of that was that about 48% of Australians are saying that there should be a massive priority put in place for a living wage rather than just a minimum income. So that was a big take home for us, and it's actually showing that people want to talk about a living wage rather than a minimum income.
So for anyone who's uninitiated into the conversation, could you explain a little bit about the difference between a minimum wage and a living income?
Yeah, so minimum wage is the minimum that's set arbitrarily through the award-based systems and through the Henderson poverty line. What we're actually saying on the living wage is that we should actually start to calculate the cost of how much bread is, how much milk is, how much it is to live in a suburb, how much it is to catch the bus to work to and from. So, you know, actually putting a value on how much it costs for an average Australian to live in the local area, and start to actually respectfully apply a wage increase that applies to that. What we've seen over time is wages decreasing. We've seen cost of living going up, and we're seeing pressures being put on working class families. What we haven't seen is a radical shift from the minimum class, the minimum wage in that sense. So yeah, you know, the minimum wage is something that has been stagnant, and that's something that I know that the rules are set to keep it that way, as once a year it gets updated. But a living wage is something that, that should be fluctuant and move with it.
Absolutely. So because it's such a complex issue, moving the dialogue away from talking about income to talking about wealth, and moving the dialogue away from talking about minimum wage to talking about a living wage would be one way to start this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got to really turn the dialogue away from a discussion that says, you know, we're going to have the national minimum wage case once every year, which is coming out very soon, and a discussion where we see big business lobby to keep the wage growth low, and we see unions and working people stand up and say, we'd like to see a better, fairer share of the pie. I actually think we should be doing that on a relatively, you know, regular basis. We should be reviewing that constantly. It's not something that should ever be stagnant to a year by year process, and a case that is irrelevantly not connected to the majority of Australians. So there's no surprise that when we talk about wealth and wealth and income inequality, that 73% of Australians don't get it right. It's no surprise because we actually don't have open dialogue about what is fair and what is not. You think about it, like, we used to be the country of the fair go. It's very clear that every single time that we give up this ideal that we're fair and we're ignorant to the fact that we actually aren't fair, the government wins. They win every single time on that, because we're not educated to say, actually, we need to change the system to make sure we are fair.
This cognitive dissonance that happens when we don't communicate properly, is it an information glut? Is it a misrepresentation or a misunderstanding of the information that's available? Or is it just, quite frankly, apathy about wealth inequality?
I think it's a bit of a mix. I suppose, you know, this kind of, we live busy lives, and kind of touches on what I said earlier, the context that we actually have been kind of brainwashed into thinking that Australia is fair. When we're looking at the breakdown of the Oxfam report, it actually shows that, you know, not only is the system not fair, the system is getting better for those who are earning the top 1%. Just last year, we're actually seeing their wealth grow by $100 million a day. It's not getting any fairer for the 70%, but it's getting a lot better for the top end. I myself, when I grew up, I relied on, working in a bar, I relied on those penalty rates, and I'm pretty sure many of your listeners did as well. You know, having those removed, we all know someone that's been affected by that, and the worst part, one of our members from the Fabians had advised me that the difference for penalty rates for them actually meant about putting a black and gold food kind of hamper on the table for Christmas, or something that could be maybe a bit nicer, like some Cadbury chocolate.
Billy Collis, National Chair of the Australian Fabians, ending that report by Veronica Alashina. You're listening to On The Money on the Community Radio Network. I'm Ben Robinson.